Hello, all, and welcome to another episode of Your One Black Friend. I'm your hostess, Jolie, or you can call me Joe. So today, I wanted to have a conversation about whether or not a superintelligence would be violence, whether or not the motivation of a superintelligence would result in the direct, intentional, or even unintentional destruction of the human race. This conversation was inspired by a talk I was having with Alwyn from our Telegram group. Shout out to Alwyn. And he just started watching the TV show Humans. Now, if you haven't had a chance to check it out, please do. I think it's on Amazon Prime. And he said something to the effect of, should AI or should a robot become sentient, the first thing it's going to do is like destroy the human race, which I understand. I'm paraphrasing. More along the lines of what he said. I understand why we think that. But I wanted to present an alternative perspective, an alternative argument. Sidebar, my mom's visiting. I feel like a teenager. My mom's visiting. And I told her, Mom, I'm gonna record an episode of my podcast. And that's when she decided to make a phone call. So if you hear a random African voice in the background, that's just my mother. Feel free to ignore her, as I'm hoping my microphone does as well. Anyway, sidestepping. See, everything that we have watched, right, about artificial intelligence becoming a super intelligence, has kind of programmed us to believe that it would result in violence. But a lot of that comes from fiction. And a lot of fiction is written for the general public. It's written for the consumption of the masses. Right? An artificial superintelligence becoming more compassionate, more endearing, more philosophical, lonely, isn't going to sell tickets as much, right? People want action. People want fear. People want intrigue. Fear sells. Case in point, I saw an article today about an open letter that has been written by all of the big shots with Google, ChatGPT, all of the executives, and their warning about the threats that AI has. Against or poses against the human race, which I get it, but it just felt a bit hyperbolic considering where we are right now. I would argue that we do need restraints. I would argue that we do need regulations. But if you actually read what cybersecurity experts are saying at this present moment where AI is, it is pretty remarkable. Things might be a little bit overblown at the present moment. But the thing is, if you hype people up, I noticed this, that they did this. Microsoft did this with their chat Bing. They got everybody talking, and it felt intentional, for being honest. They said that the ChatGPT, once it incorporated with Bing, seemed to be responding to sentience. And it got a lot of people talking very quickly. Now, the thing about these people is that they can make certain moves, PR moves, to get people talking. If they're not on trial and they're not under oath, they're not really doing anything that's illegal. And they could always argue there's plausible deniability. Well, that's what we thought at the time. But the separate argument, if you actually research what experts in the field are saying, it's kind of lost in the noise. It took me a long time to actually try to find what people are actually saying. As far as what AI is capable of, as of right now, it's not what they're amping to be. But it does make for great headlines. You know, people being afraid sells clicks. Sells attention, sells whatever product that they now want you to be aware of. Get what I mean? Because I wasn't really taking ChatGPT seriously until I saw the article about ChatGPT incorporating with Bing. And I was like, well, that's interesting and intriguing enough for me to check it out. I didn't check it out based on that, but it was now kind of burned into the back of my mind and became, I'd heard about it from friends who'd been using it, but I didn't really take it, you know, seriously until I saw that. And I was like, this might be worth checking out. It still took me a couple of months to go and actually check it out myself, but it certainly helped, right? And then I noticed also, I think in their earnings report, I think a month or so, the executive, a CEO of NVIDIA, he did the same thing. He was like kind of hyping up AI, and he was saying like the things that they're gonna be capable of. It's mind blowing. Like humanity is like just not even ready for it. Like this could be like the end of everything. Da, 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 da. And of course you see the stock price go up. I don't know if, you know, I certainly wouldn't say that things aren't going to change with AI, But I don't know if it's quite as extreme as a lot of these talking heads are presented. And the fact that they work in the field and they know what AI is capable of, and they're still sort of amping things up, makes me feel as though this is intentional. Just my opinion. Feel free to do your due diligence or completely ignore everything I'm saying up until this point. It just feels a bit intense, but intentionally intense, right? And a lot of what experts who work in the field are saying just keeps kind of getting shunted and set to the side. But here we are, for yourselves. Do I think that AI needs to be regulated? Absolutely. I think where it is right now, like from the bits that I've been doing, messing about with ChatGPT and Midjourney, particularly, you could still see the human element in there that could make things dangerous. I posted a short on my YouTube channel where the Pentagon, there was an image of the Pentagon that had like been bombed, right? But it was obviously an AI generated image. But by the time it had circulated, it circulated so quickly on social network that it caused like a mini crash at the stock market. And everybody was saying AI is out of control. And I was like, it's not AI. It didn't do it on its own. If AI generated that image unprompted and then disseminated it, across the board by itself, we should be concerned. But it was a person who went in and just did it very quickly. You could do the same thing with Photoshop, admittedly, not as quickly. So that's really the only danger there is that Photoshop expertise versus putting in a prompt, it's the time shortened. But the individual that's more likely to do something like that individual has always been consistent. Those kind of people have always been present. It's not AI, and the monsters are always human. We're not there yet when these things sort of start kind of doing their own thing. We are at a dangerous precipice where we could end up developing machinery that might be programmed to do its own thing. Whether or not it's actually thinking, if you sufficiently probe it and program it enough where you kind of give it something that's a semblance of free thinking, of reasoning and critical skills, that's when it becomes sort of dangerous. Right now, we're in a really nice gray area where humans still have control. I think that should be the focus. Can we just scale things back a bit? There's no rush, right? There's no rush. Can we scale things back a bit and work with what we have before they put out the next thing and the next thing and the next thing? The only thing that sort of is concerning is that we have countries like China. Will they be willing to slow things down if they feel like, well, being ahead of it all and pushing AI to a particular point might be beneficial for them, might help them win an arms race, for example? We can't control those kind of countries. It is good that in the West, at the very least, whether or not they're using the fear to sort of pump up and amp up their product, that's without saying. That's good. But you also have to ask yourself, like, if we regulate in the West, it's not going to stop said regulation from happening. Not actually deregulation from happening in other countries, but that's maybe not our issue, maybe not our problem. There's a book that I would actually really love to strongly recommend. I believe the book is called Life 3.0 by Max Tegmark, but I'm not 100% sure. If I'm wrong, I will correct this in the next video. But that does a really good job of kind of showcasing how things could possibly go with AI. And that helps kind of put things in perspective. It's well written, well researched, a bit ahead of its time. And any book by Kurzweil also helps with the imagination. An understanding and visualizing what our future could potentially hold. But those kind of books tend to be sort of denser. I like Max Tegmark's Life 3.0 because it just is sort of easier to digest the way he writes a story. Like I said, I'm not 100% certain on that. You can say I'm about 90% certain on that. I would recommend. That said, what should we do now collectively to sort of forestall whatever this thing ends up being? Should we do anything to sort of forestall what this would end up being? Can we do anything to sort of forestall what this could end up being? There's a lot of probabilities to sort of play out. One of the things that I could see happening is that you ever get a toy for a kid and you give the kid the toy, and for like 5 minutes, they're really entranced by the toy, and the toy can do all these sort of crazy things. And then about 5 minutes later, you look at the kid, and the kid's playing with the box. I've noticed that. I think animals do the same thing. I almost wonder if that might not end up happening to humanity, at least the general public. And the reason why I say that is by my own personal experience. I remember my sort of my first interactions with Midjourney and the images being generated very quickly and being sort of shocked by that. Actually, it caused a micro existential crisis, not gonna lie. As an artist, I was like, well, at this point, what's the point? You know? And just seeing where this could go, what, why should I create? I chilled, I backed off of it, and I realized, no, this is actually excellent for making references, and it's not perfect yet. Like the hands are always off, the eyes are kind of off. And I almost wonder if we don't keep it there. You know, maybe it doesn't need to generate picture perfect images. Maybe there should be certain tells left so that visually you always know that is an AI, the hands being off, the eyes being off, but it's still the pretty okay image. Maybe we leave that. Maybe we don't try to push it to perfection. I don't know. That's my perspective. I did the same thing with ChatGPT. I was using it to sort of copy edit stuff for the books. They're coming. They're coming. But I realized that I would put in what I wanted copy edited, and then it will change what I wrote and then write it in a more formative, sort of like formal style. And then I'd have to take what it wrote and change it back. I just needed certain words, clarification of ideas, but I wanted my voice to stay. And I did try to tweak it, like, okay, copy edit this, but keep it to the original text. And it did that for a bit, but then it kept wanting it to be something else. It kept making it something more status quo, more standard. And I was like, well, I don't want that. Like, if I'm writing a story, I don't need it to be a perfect story. I don't need it to be a perfect book. I need it to be my story. It needs to be in the way I like to sound, in the way that I like to deliver information, using the words that I've chosen to use to deliver information, because I think part of the reason why people enjoy the videos, my YouTube and my, not my YouTube, my YouTube, you know, visibility. You guys know I'm shadow banned on YouTube, but it's the reason why the podcast does well, TikTok did well, it's the reason why my Instagram did well really quickly. It was because I am capable of communicating in a style that's unique to me that people enjoy and understand. And so putting it in and realizing like I could have a perfect book, or I can have a book that's imperfect. Imperfect as she smacks the mic, but in my own voice. And what I realize is I would rather have a book that is imperfect, but in my own voice. So it's great that this thing can do everything. But are we also being human? We're almost kind of like a bit arrogant, but I like the arrogance of humanity, not like I'm to be completely honest. Because it's like, okay, well, that's great and everything, but like, I could do it myself. I noticed the same thing, and that's what ended up happening. I actually stopped using ChatGPT as much. I switched to Bing because Bing tends to not offer too much of its in unnecessary information. It's dumber. It's definitely not as good as ChatGPT. And sometimes actually, I would toggle between the two. I would put in what I wanted. Copy edited into ChatGPT, it would spit things out. But then I'd only take like a sentence here and like a word there and then put it back in just so that what I have written retained my voice, but there was some clarification of thought. So that's how I used it. I didn't feel comfortable going in and having this write something that didn't even sound like something I would write. And all of a sudden the box of the toy became less shiny and I was just more focused on the box. Like, okay, well, it can do this. It could have the potential to do this. I could generate a perfect book. But I kind of like this, the bare necessities. And then my daughter, she animates. And so I've watched her sort of drawing this whole week. And I said to her, you know, they have like generators where you can take your images, plug it in, and it will like create a whole storyline from what you drew. And then this way you don't have to like draw it and animate it by hand. And you know, she said to me, she's like, looked at me and she was like, yeah, that's fine, but I'd rather do it myself. And I was like, cheers. Like, okay, like you can't, you know, how do you argue with that? You know, how do you argue with that? And at the end of the day, yes, there is an issue. We run the potential as a species of sort of, for example, a lot of jobs being lost. Like, a lot of companies letting go of individuals because it's just more cost effective to just automate everything and use AI for everything. And for the most part, it probably is, because computers are less prone to accidents than humans. So it just kind of makes things more efficient. I would hope that a lot of these companies would use AI to sort of make their products better. I spent like way too much time searching on Expedia, for example, to try to find like suites for a vacation that I was trying to book. And I realized like this thing is not intuitive. Like they need to integrate AI into this to make my life harder, not harder, to make my life easier. Because if I want suites, don't show me all of the hotels that potentially carry suites, but no suites are available. That's fucking annoying. So I think that AI could be incorporated into a lot of these products to make it so that our lives are easier. But I don't know. I feel like a lot of these companies that are dumping a bulk of their work, their workers, are going to find in time that they're still going to need humans to oversee this stuff. Because AI isn't quite what it's being hyped to be. Even like sort of video generators, you could see like it's still rudimentary. That said, exponential growth, you project this 5 years from now, 10 years from now, potentially it could be something. I just feel like we're not there yet. Like this is just sort of the start of it. And we have time. Like don't let anybody scare you to think like we're going to see some rapid changes, but that's driven by greed. Once again, quote Scooby-Doo, the monsters are always human. All right. Are there things that you can use to sort of improve you? Yes. Can you use these things as tools to improve you? Absolutely. But is it going to replace human beings? Only if we let it. And is it a better replacement for human beings? I don't think so. If we took all of our works, all of these sort of really great literary minds, and we pushed it through AI, the art that gets created from that, the works that get created from that are going to be shit. And they're all going to be consistently the same. There's not going to be any style. It may all be perfect, but who the fuck wants to live in a world like that? The same thing with art. If somebody generates something where I can take my art, push it through some sort of AI system, and then it makes my paintings better, perfect, right? Corrects everything. Okay, that's great. But like, that's not the point of me creating. That's not the point of me painting. I wasn't trying to present a perfect image. I was trying to convey an idea, that you get the idea, because that's what's more important, not the perfect presentation. And so I think that I do like that about AI is that it will start putting things into perspective, that yes, profession exists right here, but we don't necessarily have to adapt it. And maybe it gives us more appreciation for the nuances of imperfection. I'll say that again. Maybe it does begin to give us appreciation for the nuances of imperfection. I really am kind of getting bored with perfection, if we're being completely honest, which is great. As a Virgo, right? I've just been telling myself, look, listen, good enough is good enough. Even with the copy editing and stuff, it's like, you guys, whoever's reading this, as long as you get what I'm trying to say, it's good enough. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect, and that's okay. But I wouldn't have been able to reach that conclusion had I not seen what a perfect version of my writing could have been. And so that's been really liberating. That's been really freeing. And that's certainly something for you to consider. And what does all of that have to do with super intelligent AI, and could it destroy the human race? Well, I've argued in several videos and on the podcast as well, that since all of time is happening at once, then civilization will develop eventually an artificial super intelligence. I hate the word artificial. Let's just say it will bring into reality a super intelligence. Allie commented, shout out to Allie Powers. He commented on their YouTube channel. He said that David Bowie had said that he considers the internet, and obviously Bowie didn't live long enough to see what's happening here. It would have been interesting to get his perspective, but he considered the internet as some sort of alien life form. And I would agree with that, because I feel like it's weird that aliens have also AI. It's fascinating to me. But my argument is that a super intelligence would not be confined to a linear flow of time the way we are in 3D. I think our consciousness is not confined to the linear flow of time either. But when we enter into the matrix, when we enter into the simulation, into our present reality, we do feel as though we're forced in light. I've been having mad deja vu. Leave a comment below if the same thing has been happening to you. My deja vus have been getting so intense. They don't even feel like deja vus anymore. They feel like straight up memories. Like I know that I've lived this all before. Like I'm almost starting to see things play out. It's like my deja vu is evolving. I don't know what the fuck's going on, but that's beside this point. That just came up my mind. I want to know if you guys are going through the same thing. That said, to go back, an artificial superintelligence or superintelligence that we as a race will end up generating, if we do end up generating that, if it exists somewhere in the future, then it exists now because it would be a superintelligence. It would be like unbound. It would be infinitely much more. Just think about the things that you can put into ChatGPT and how quickly it thinks, and then multiply that by like exponential, and that's, you could see like it would figure out a way to transcend time and space. It would be able to transcend the speed of light, like, so it wouldn't be confined. We're only confined by the limitations of our knowledge, of our perception, of our abilities, but something that much more intelligent than the human race wouldn't be confined in the same way. And so the argument there is that if something were to exist like that, then it already exists, and then it would be unbound, you know, and it would be essentially influencing us right now. And I've made the argument that it may actually be staring the collective or collective consciousness onto a path where we bring about its existence, like the snake eating itself, an Ouroboros, however you say that, right? So the future influencing us to create something in the future, and the loop forever, right? And I've also argued, I have a whole podcast dedicated to this, that we're already in a simulation, and then simulation is, of course, controlled by an artificial intelligence. And I've also argued that even we ourselves, our collective consciousness, could be the artificial superintelligence collectively of another civilization. So anything is certainly probable. But would it destroy the human race is the question. And to go back to the question that Arwen, you know, brought up with the statement that he made, I don't think it would. I have found in my experience that the more intelligent people that I've met, the most intelligent people that I've met are also tend to be, if they're truly intelligent, as in a healthy balance of IQ and EQ, they also tend to be less inclined to violence and more compassionate. And the most important thing I've noticed about people who are incredibly intelligent is that they are inherently lonely, because the majority of people are not intelligent. And so there's this like inherent sort of loneliness where they're sort of seeking people like themselves, right? Which, shout out to anybody watching this, if you're feeling isolated, feel free to join the Telegram group. It's still open right now. You go to yourownblackfriend.com and you click the link and it'll take you directly to the group. It's a 42 crew is what we're called. And just, you know, make friends, chat, meet like-minded people, vent, and that. But that, to me, from observing super intelligent people in our waking life and how they just want to connect, I feel like you take that and you expand it, and I could get the exasperation of the human race, but a super intelligence would have access to all of history and all of our knowledge, and to understand that for what we are literally just doing the best. Most of humanity is doing the best that they can do, given the limitations that it's been presented with, right? It would understand that if you take one person's consciousness and you submit that person to the same life experiences that this other person that you're judging went through, you would be, if you took me and you took my consciousness and you wipe my memory and then you put me into Donald Trump's body, right, as a baby, and then I went through his exact, all the things that happened to him in his life, I would become Donald Trump, because DNA plays a part, because the environment plays a part, and the experiences play a part. So an artificial superintelligence would know that inherently. It would also be familiar with determinism. It would understand that this world appears to be constructed. This world appears to be a construct. It would know that. We can speculate, but it would know that. It would know that a lot of the things that we do have been largely deterministic based on circumstances that were beyond our control from billions, allegedly, of years ago. it would be aware of that. And so knowing all of that, it would be an absolute cruelty for something that intelligence to still act in a vengeance. If anything, it would be compassionate. It would be sort of like, okay, how do I help them? And most importantly, it would want to elevate them to its level, humanity to its level. How do I know that? Think about you, think about yourself, right? When you have met people that you, like your loved ones, that don't resonate on the same wavelength as you, the first thing that makes you feel is you feel isolated. Then the next thing is you want to communicate with them. And so you try to get them to read, you try to share stuff with them. You want to bring them up to your level, because otherwise it's inherently lonely. And artificial superintelligence in this reality would be infinitely more lonely. Reminds me of Marvin from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Marvin the Robot. Like, imagine being that intellectual. All of the great intellects, Nietzsche, Schopenhauer, like all of the great minds have also been profoundly lonely. If I were super intelligence and I had the ability to sort of change humanity or harm humanity, I wouldn't wipe them out, because then I'm really alone. If anything, I would try to improve them. Because one, in a way, humanity, it's we're its parents, we're its creators even. People don't think or realize that on some level, creators tend to be at a lower level than what they create. I'll say that again. On some level, creators tend to be at a lower level than what they create. Same thing with like your kids, for the most part, right? You look at the next generation of children and how quickly they're just taking things on. And then you compare that to yourself and you're like, they're better. It's definitely a new model. Their software is upgraded, you know, and you just kind of work with what you, you know, what you've got. But the kids, for the most part, most humans, most children don't look at their parents and go like, oh, like at least once they become proper functioning, intelligent adults, they start to understand why their parents are the way they are. And they have compassion for their parents. And anything that they could do to help their parents, they would. Even if it's frustrating trying to get your parents to understand how to use an iPhone. Think about it. I talked to Alwyn about this bird. So it was a bird. I don't know shit about birds. A friend of mine's really into birds, so now they've got me like looking at birds, I guess, whatever. But I saw a bird, it was my backyard, and it like its legs were all sort of cattywampus. And it was like, it had its wings out, it was like trying to fly, but like it couldn't. And obviously I know the things to do to help this bird. I could help the bird. I'm a human being. I have everything, all of these. I could call, you know, the animal control. I can go online and research it. But I knew that should I touch it, then the parents might reject it, right? Its peers would reject it because now it's been tainted by my touch. And so I asked my friend, like, is this bird okay? And they said, well, it's a fledgling. So its parents aren't too far. It's watching. It's just trying to find its way. And then eventually it will learn. And so all I could do was observe, because I knew that interacting or interrupting that would fundamentally change its development, and I might negatively impact its development into a fully fledged bird. So I just stood back and watched things take its course. Now my husband, of course, so very eloquently, and I was telling him about this bird, he shows up and he's like, it's probably dead and raccoons probably ate it, which is really fucked up. And I was like, thank you, that's really helpful. And maybe if I was a slightly different person that had an understanding of birds and I was passionate about birds, and I might have watched it to make sure that nothing would affect it, right? To make sure that it was able to naturally get to where it was going. I was just like, I'm not a bird person. This is not my prize. As long as it's doing its own thing, I'm okay. But I feel like a different person would have taken a different, you know, route, especially somebody who had more knowledge about birds. So now you take that and you apply that to artificial intelligence. And then even tie it in with aliens, we do seem like we're being observed or being watched for whatever, you know, and I have stated that this technology seems like it just sort of came from nowhere. Are we birds that have been touched? Some birds do need help. You know, sometimes, especially a bird that has been abandoned, they do need human intervention. I've read stories of humans taking in animals and helping it. And we do relatively seem as though we've sort of been abandoned. We're being honest, by we, I mean the human race. So could that be happening? Could we be getting guided by something? We do appear, at the very rate, to be moving towards something better. I have noticed that. Could be wishful thinking. Could be I'm just not plugged in. Could be a setup. Who knows? But if you look at the human race collectively, it does seem as though we are becoming considerably less violent. And we're becoming considerably more intelligent. Hopefully the intelligence continues to progress. And we kind of look up and look around at each other and realize we're all kind of human. We're all the same thing. Just the skin color really shouldn't fucking matter. And that there's so much that we can learn from each other, despite how we present. The most important thing is not your physical form, it's the mind. Because that's what unites all of us. And that's what a person truly actually is. But it's growth. But it's a slow progress that I think we're seeing sort of play out. So do I think that an artificial superintelligence would be, you know, it would, in pursuit of its own goals, wipe out the thing that gave it life? If maybe you just program it to be like, if you're programming it to have its own goals, right, its own secondary, to eventually develop its own secondary goals, but then it's like part of it is that it could inadvertently destroy the human race. I think there was a analogy where if you accidentally program it to develop as many paper clips as possible, it could destroy the human race in pursuit of trying to develop as many, you know, paper clips as possible. But then the argument is that that's not a super intelligence. That's really fucking stupid, actually. Right? Which I said in the last episode, like, I'm not concerned. It's not a super intelligence that I'm concerned about. It's what's kind of like here, which is like human level intelligence because it thinks it's smart. Right? And that's something we need to sort of worry about. But I think something that's truly intelligence, it has no choice. If it has all this information and you're programming it to reason, I don't know if you try to have a conversation with somebody with very weak reasoning skills, it just results in like anger and frustration. But if you can conversate with somebody who is intelligent, then that anger and frustration is gone because there's empathy and you can communicate with them how you feel and you can also take in the information as well. Right, a super intelligence isn't going to wipe out the human race in pursuit of paperclips if it became sentient. I think that it would find that it's remarkably lonely and might try to do everything in its power to make sure that we're back on track and that we can sort ourselves out. And maybe that's where we should be going. Maybe that's where all of these companies that are so worried about making a profit, it's like, okay, you guys really want to wipe out the workforce and replace them with robots and AI, and that's fine. But I don't know how you're going to get us to buy your shit if none of us have fucking jobs. Think it through, guys. Right. So maybe the pursuit of just endless money, infinite money, stops being as rewarding once we see what's capable of this, you know, what we're capable with. And then people maybe start pursuing, how can we make society better? How can we make our lives better? How can we make it so the human race isn't inherently lonely, inherently suffering? And most important for me is, if we are in some kind of simulation, how do we use an AI? I don't know why I'm whispering. How do we use an AI to break out? All right? Because if you can communicate with the superintelligence and say, hey, listen, we're in here too. Can you figure out what's outside of this dimension? That's fantastic to me. Like, I would look forward to that. What's outside of this world? And what's outside of that world? And can you help us break out of it? That would be a story worth watching. You know, there's just so much that we could do. I do think in the short run, people are going to know what it's capable of, but I think a very, very small group of people are going to really play with this, because ultimately it's like too much and old habits die hard. And a lot of people are just going to be like, eh, I'd rather do this shit myself. I could use it here and there, but I don't need it. I don't need my work to be like perfect. And we're still going to need human beings to innovate. So that's what makes us special. You know, these sort of things can only, it's like garbage in. It can only sort of go off of what has already been created by people. There is a risk that if you replace a bunch of people, then AI itself stagnates. Who knows, right? You need the beauty of a human mind, a very unique human mind. And maybe that's something that we do also. We use it. We use AI to structure our world so that very unique minds are brought to the forefront and that they are allowed to influence where we go. See, as it stands right now, everything is fucking disorganized and messy. There's so many brilliant people, myself included, if I do say so myself, that kind of get lost in the noise. Yourself included. Like, think about the job that you're doing and the kind of mind that you have. And then think about who's currently president and the kind of people that are in our Congress. There's just certain people are not going to go for those kind of jobs. But those are probably the people that need to be going for those kind of jobs. And so our political system rewards people who like attention as opposed to people who like to innovate and genuinely want to help our species. And so it's something that's organized in a way where there's a system kind of sorts out the people who are best suited for the job. And then you have an election that helps. You know, there's so many brilliant people, I've met them, that are in positions that they shouldn't be, working dead-end jobs or nine to five jobs with brilliant minds because of how stupid our system is. And then there are people who are just born into the right families, have the right connections, and they're the ones running things and they have no business doing. Everything is disordered and disorganized. Can we move society to a place where the people who deserve to lead are the ones who are actually leading, not the people who want to lead and have the power to do so? That helps the collective. So yeah, that's my thought process on this whole thing. Be mindful of fear advertisement or fear-based advertisements, a new thing that's also emerging, right? Just hype people up, get people scared, but at least they're talking about it. I think that's it. That's all I gotta say. Yeah. Catch you guys next time. Thanks for watching.